praise Yahweh for spring. We praise Yahweh for winter. We praise Yahweh for spring. We praise Yahweh for a summer day and the fruits the harvest brings. And we praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in every little thing. But most of all, we praise Yahweh within the prayers and the songs we sing. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summer time, fall, winter, and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing. When stubborn doors won't open and you're restrained from passing through, when hearts and minds get broken and you don't know what to do, that's when you realize that your spirit cries and the Father's there for you. So sing your songs and pray your prayers unto the one who is always true. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad and everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, fall, winter, and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing. Now wine can make you stumble and pride can make you fall, and it's bound to make you humble if you've ever lost it all. But if you trust in faith and His saving grace, you shall rise and hear His call. So in all things give Him thanks and praise, winter, springtime, summer, and fall. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, fall, winter, and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the seventh day of March, year 2018, and we've entitled tonight's program, Weak-Willed Women and Men. We're going to be doing some searching here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in just a minute, and a few other verses as well. There is no scheduled guest, so callers will be welcome to join us if they feel so led to do so. And before we go any further, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. And please notice we said the believing sons and daughters. Too many people out there have this notion that just being a son or daughter of Jacob is going to get you in. Well, let me know how that works out for you. Everything I read, what the Spirit tells me, etc., empirical evidence and everything else says that there is a qualification. You want to run around believing Yahweh has unconditional love for you, no matter how sorry an individual you are? Well, again, let me know how that works out for you, because nothing I study says that that's true, and it doesn't even make sense. So again, the believing sons and daughters of Yahweh. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Let me read a few things here I jotted down. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It will be in the last days, says Yahweh, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your elders or old men will dream dreams. Is Father speaking to us today? I think so. Every indication I see says that that's happening. Ask the other gentleman here at EuroFolkRadio.com. I believe these men to be inspired, and Yahweh's word is going out to those with ears to hear and eyes to see. Question is, are you one of them? If you do want to join us, have your pens and pencils handy here as I give out a little bit of information. The call-in number for the radio show is area code 605-472-5300. The ID number is 649-249. So again, 605-472-5300, and the ID is 649-249. Now, I leave the free conference call in idle until somebody calls in because of the bumper music that's playing, or elevator music, whatever you want to call it. So you have to be patient. I have to see the indicator tell me you're there, and then I have to start the chat. So don't be disheartened if you don't immediately get called onto the program. Now, we did want to go to 2 Timothy 3. We're going to get into that for just a few minutes, and then we're going to cover some current events. But I picked this title for a reason. One of my listeners wanted a show where we discuss at least a little bit about the effeminization of our people in general. It was kind of interesting, a call for an uprising, which is a YouTube channel. In fact, it's a very, very good YouTube channel, a call for an uprising. And yes, there is a call for an uprising of Yahweh's people. He just did a YouTube today and put it up there talking about how the beast system is pushing this female so-called equality or feminization down our throats with their propaganda. You see, the enemy is identifying themselves exactly as the Christ told us in the prophets, that their vanity and their paranoia will work together against them. And they sure are. I mean, pretty much anybody that has a level head today can tell who the enemy is. The George Soroses of the world, the Rothschilds, Pelosi's, Schumer's, the rest of them. Because everything out of their mouth is hypocrisy. What did Christ tell us? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, that's right, which is their hypocrisy. That's why Hollywood's full of Jews, because they make good actors. The Greek word for an actor is Hippocrates. Yep, that's right, the same word where we get the word hypocrite. Jews are the consummate hypocrites of the earth. That's why they can get on television and tell you, the simpleton that's out there, that you need to give up your guns while they walk around with five or six bodyguards, all of them armed to the teeth. That's why the nation of It's a Lie, some people call it Israel, but it's actually It's a Lie, because it is a lie, can sit there and tell the whole world through their Jewish sycophants here in the United States and every other white nation trying to disarm us while the Israelis themselves are armed to the teeth. They can tell us we can't put up a wall to protect our borders, but they've got a 20-some foot wall. A military operation with guard towers, machine guns, and the whole nine yards on it to protect their walls. They are the world's consummate hypocrites. They are identifying themselves exactly as the Christ told us, and again the prophets, when he said the tares, when it was time for the bundling and the burning of the tares will be identified for us. We don't have to do it. They were self-identifying themselves by their actions, by their words. You shall judge them by their fruit. Isn't that what it says? Check out the fruit of these Jews that own the media, that own the banks, that control the government, that control the education system, that control the medical mafia. Everything is hypocrisy with these people. We care about the children, but we don't care about tearing them out of a mother's womb and using their body parts for cosmetics and research, etc. Do you see the hypocrisy? We want your children educated, so we're going to support a centralized public school system which is dumbing children down at such a rate that we're falling down on the world scale further and further down. Used to be we were near the top. Now we're down around 30, maybe even lower on that position. So do you see the hypocrisy? They want us to use our, again, tax dollars, our efforts to support them as they have a stranglehold on our government because they love the children. And yet they're dumbing them down. They're injecting them with vaccines, which we know are harmful. In fact, one of the things I wanted to share with you is there's a new posting out, scientists against vaccines. Just as we have architects and engineers for 9/11 truth, but the mainstream Jewish hypocrisy crowd in Hollywood and in the media, they won't tell you about the hundreds upon hundreds of architects and engineers that'll tell you the 9/11 story is a complete sham. We live in a world full of fallacy. As the scriptures tell us, it's a famine for the truth. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? There is a famine for the truth. And as you look around at people around you, do they not look at you as if you know something that they need to know? Don't they have a look sometimes at you as if you're holding a cool glass of ice cold spring water and they just came in from the desert? But that's the ones who want to wake up. That's the ones who thirst for, what did Christ say? Oh, that's right. Living water, which is an idiomatic expression in the Greek language, meaning they wanted to be filled with the Spirit of Yahweh. To become a son or daughter of God means to carry on, act, and represent the Most High. Drink with the waters that will actually quench your thirst for righteousness. Now, if you happen to be a creature that walks this earth and do not thirst for righteousness, you stand condemned already. Shame on you. So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days, I think we can all agree that we're pretty close to, if not deep into, the last days. Grievous or perilous times will come. For men or mankind will be lovers of self. Take a look around at you. Lovers of money. Oh my God, does that cover a boatload of sins right there? Boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Let me pause there for a second. You know, we have a lot of our folks that have a quandary because they have parents who are anything but righteous, and they feel guilt because they don't feel like they should honor and respect them. Let me give you a little hint here. Parents who don't know how to be righteous and teach you righteousness, are they worthy of your obedience and respect? Or should you seek out somebody else who is? What did Christ tell them when they came and said, Messiah, Messiah, your brothers and your mother are outside the door of the house that we're in here, healing and teaching these people? And what did Christ do? He looked at him and opened his arms to the people that were inside listening to his message and asking for blessings and healings. And he said, this is my family. This is my family. That's one of the things that this ministry has been all about, is to build the family of our Heavenly Father that has been completely disoriented, that is completely at odds with each other, that finds more fault and backstabbing going on than you could imagine. And we need to stop that. We are a family, folks. We really are. And I don't care what language you speak or what, quote, country you're from. Those are just artificial borders. The DNA family of Jacob walks this earth. They carry the spirit of Yahweh within them. And yet we've allowed the usurper to come in between us and convince us to hate our own, distrust our own, and even to kill our own through abortion, infanticide, medical malpractice, vaccines, and warfare. How does the enemy get us to do this? Through fear. Everything about this enemy is to generate fear. We've talked about this many times for at least the last 18 years that we've been on the air. Fear, folks. As soon as you start feeling yourself overcome with fear, you should know that your enemy is working on you. Whether it's subconsciously or in your face through the boob tube or the electronic toilet, or as somebody call it, the electronic synagogue of Satan. He has many ways to get within you, doesn't he? Because now he can affect the ears. You've got pods, ear pods and headphones on almost all day long, listening to some kind of garbage produced by this beast. Or you forever have that black screen of death in front of you, watching your cell phones, your smartphones, your tablets, your flat screen computers, flat screen televisions. You've got the image of the beast in front of you almost 24 hours a day. So it's very easy for them to get access to you and to create this sense of fear. Remember, the fear is what he wants. He lives off that fear, much like these perverts that are hurting and murdering the children. They try to get them afraid because the adrenaline that's injected into the bloodstream and all is a benefit. It's a perk. It's a high for them. These are sick, demonic people. Well, the same thing happens with you. They, in the dark realms of these occultists, they get a high off of your fear. That's why Christ said, put on the spirit of what? Righteousness, which does not include the spirit of fear. We're warriors. Let's start acting like it. Or as James Lancey has said on the show not too long ago, isn't it time we learn how to be lions again? Why shouldn't we be lions? Why are we whimpering like lambs? Why are we allowing those that we thought were trustworthy but who are actually doing the work of the Antichrist and leading our people, our sheep, to the slaughter? Why are we doing that? Why are we not rising up against them? Now, at some point, as this all plays out, the scripture tells us that especially these lying preachers are going to be sought by even their own parents for the deceptions that they have created. That is one of the things that in the Q posts, the QAnon posts on the 8chan, I agree with. So some of those things are very scriptural that are being posted on QAnon. Because those that we trust the most have betrayed us. Preachers, teachers, doctors, lawyers, bureaucrats within the government, military, law enforcement. Some of the very people that we've put trust in and faith in and put our confidence in that would do a good job and protect us and our little ones are actually the perpetrators. Interestingly enough, and I give a great shout out to Craig Sawyer, the former Navy SEAL, who is heading up Viper teams to go after these pedophiles. And they're starting to round them up. And one of the latest callers, it was interesting, happened to be a criminal investigative agent for the IRS. I thought, hallelujah, hallelujah. Watch one of those despicable vipers within the IRS get nailed. I can't wait till they catch more of these creeps. Put them all in prison, awaiting execution. And we should not make any mistake about the fact that these guys that are committing pedophilia, that's a capital crime. In Yahweh's law. All right. We're not going to rehabilitate these people. Why do I care about rehabilitating them? When my Heavenly Father, who made this world and made us, told us that you take people like that out and you hang them, run a sword through them, put a spear through them, doesn't matter to me. I really don't care how it's done, as long as they're done. As long as they're put in the dirt where they belong. We're not going to waste another ounce of our time, energy, or money on their sorry, sick asses. All right? Why would we do that? You see, the enemy wants us to believe that killing these criminals is somehow unchristian. It's just unchristian that you would have such a violent tendency. Oh my gosh, Dan, we should have compassion. Now, this is the same creature that has absolutely no compassion for the child that they're going to rape or produce a snuff film, which will end up in them being raped and murdered on film, or that they're going to dissect and have on one of their rituals and actually eat them and drink their blood. These creatures, we are supposed to somehow feel compassion for them? I got the passion, all right, and it's not compassion, it's passion wielding a sword. I want to step in the middle of them, and I won't stop swinging that sword until my arm just gives out completely. That shows you the kind of compassion I'll have for them. No, there's no time in a jail where they can get color television, lift weights, play softball and tennis, and work on their tans out in the yard and all that garbage at our expense. No, they go in the dirt where they rightfully belong. Same as those who commit treason. Same as those who commit murder, assassination. The same as those who commit kidnapping. And here's something I want all you guys in law enforcement to catch. Yeah, I know your Jewish handlers, the Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League, they're the satanic groups that you morons listen to. They're not going to tell you this, but let me tell you something. When you take somebody into custody illegally, it's kidnapping. Have they told you that yet? Oh, I know. What they're telling you is you've got a badge and you're working for Schumer or Boxer or Feinstein or Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the kind of ilk that they are. They'll tell you that, don't worry about it. We can get you out because we own the courts. Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Go in there, take their weapons. There's no charges, but don't worry about it. We want their weapons. So go in there on some pretext, get them out. And yes, they're going to file charges, but don't worry about it. We've got the judge in our pocket. We've got the sheriff in our pocket. We've got the lawyers in our pocket. Don't worry about it. And those criminal creatures up there in Washington, D.C. and up here in Tallahassee in Florida, yeah, don't worry about them either. You know, we've got them in our pocket. You know, here's the sad news for you. An uprising is about to come upon this earth because the righteous have had enough of your bullshit. Okay? Simply said, we've had enough. So you want to believe the lies, that's fine. But when the righteous stand and the military tribunals start, you're not going to have them get you out of trouble. So if you want to commit kidnapping under the color of law, that's not going to save you. When found guilty of that, you will be hanged in public just like the rest of them. How much simpler can it be? You know, Yahweh's law is perfect law. Doesn't cost a lot of money, doesn't take a lot of time, and it solves the problem. And it sends a clear message about those who might think of doing the same thing.
Welcome. This service is provided by FreeConferenceCall.com. There is one other participant in the conference.
Hello, area code 401.
Yes, hi.
Yes, who do we have here?
My name is Henry.
Oh, Henry, okay. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, is this Dan?
Yep, this is Dan. How are you doing?
Oh, so this is the broadcast is on a little bit of a delay, or is that how it works?
No, actually, we start at 7 now. I know a while back we used to start at 8, but we're actually up at 7 now. So this is the live broadcast, and you're on.
Okay, cool. Oh, I'm on now.
Yes, sir, you are.
All right. Let me turn off my radio here.
Okay.
Awfully confused. Okay. Yes, first time calling in, and I really love listening to you, Dan, and a little bit nervous, but anyway, I want to, the main reason I'm able to call in tonight is because I normally go swimming on Wednesdays, but we're having a snowstorm, and so here I am.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So, yeah, hey, Henry. Know, Henry, as a first-time caller, I'm going to put you on a hot seat here. I'm only just kidding, by the way. But anyway, we're just having
hot
a con.
Seat. Uh-oh.
No. Relax. We're just having a conversation. And but anyway, as a first-time guest, just so the listeners have a feel for where you're coming from, can you give a little bit of a bio for yourself, like, you know, how you got to where you are today? You don't have to give out any personal details or, you know,
no.
But just so they have a some sort of an understanding what background you're coming from, okay?
As far as finding the truth movement or background of my you know, entire, you know, not my entire life, but my background concerning this stuff, is that what you're referring
well,
to?
Well, like you know, if you've been through the military, have you done a lot of traveling?
Okay, okay, all right.
And then
I follow. I got I got the idea. All right. Well, I'm 61 years old. I've been a computer programmer most of my life, about 30 years or so. I'm disabled now. I've got some serious back issues. But as far as my truth journey goes, it only recently started. I'm almost ashamed to say that I'm 61 years old, and if you'd have talked to me 3 years ago, I probably would. You know, in talking about this kind of stuff, I probably would have been, I would have had nothing to contribute. I wouldn't have been, I was watching more football than paying attention to this kind of stuff. I moved on. I think it was about, around 3 years ago. I don't know how I stumbled upon this. I was on the internet. I don't even know what I was looking at. And the first person that I recall ever seeing, and I don't have any respect for this guy now. You know how it works. When you first start into this stuff, you don't know who the misinformation agents are. You don't know who the frauds are, the gatekeepers and whatnot. And I don't know if this guy is necessarily a gatekeeper, but I've seen a lot of what he's written since I first saw him, but I've moved on from him for various reasons, but that was Henry Makow. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yes, I have.
And once I heard his take on Adolf Hitler, I said, this guy's a jerk. Because from what I understand, he thinks Hitler was a front man for the Jews. So after about 2 weeks of listening to this guy, I said, it just kind of took me to some other people. I think after Henry Makow, I started listening to some Tex Mars, and I was really intrigued with him for quite a while, actually. As you probably know, he doesn't think too highly of the Jews. But he also, it took me a while with Mr. Mars, but I also realized that he's got a lot of shortcomings, too. I think one time I was listening to Tex, and he was actually on Alex Jones, and that was my first exposure to Alex Jones. And it only took me a week of listening to Alex Jones, and I saw him on an interview with David Duke. And David Duke absolutely shredded him for about 45 minutes to an hour. And the way Jones was backtracking and avoiding the Jew question, it just stuck with me, and I said, wow. And obviously, just about everybody knows he's a total shill. But of course, at that time, you know, you go through, it's like a filtering process. If you don't have any discernment skills at all, you're going to be taken up with these people and just you know, think they're genuine. So I went from Macau to Texmars. Alex Jones brought me to David Duke, and then I really liked listening to David Duke, and I still listen to David Duke to this day. He's got a show on every day. I listen to him 2 or 3 times a week. He's a little bit repetitive, and he kind of speaks about the same stuff almost, not all the time, but he drills his, you know, I'll tell you one thing about David Duke. He knows his history, and so I respect him for that. So from David Duke, and so when I found David Duke, I found that he was on a radio network, the Rents Network. So I started listening to Jeff Rents, and I started to listen. But Jeff Rents has so many different kinds of guests, some of which I like a lot, and a lot of which I think are just way out there whack jobs. So I got exposed to a lot of different kinds of people through Jeff Rents. Jeff Rents himself, I'm not sure how I feel about him. He's a decent person, but, I mean, he has a guest on every week. I don't know what this guy's name is, but his specialty is, he calls it reverse speech. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
The guy takes, like, Donald Trump will be speaking about something, and he'll take the audio of what he says, and he runs it backwards, you know, like the Beatles songs and the stuff like that. And he runs it backwards, and he can, you know, he'll get a few words out of it and say, and this is what he's really trying to say by reversing his speech. And that's the kind of thing that Jeff Rents entertains on his show. So it's like, I don't really have time for that kind of shit. One of the people I got exposed to on Jeff Rents was a person I heard on your show 2 or 3 months ago, Gertjan Zwigelaar, and that's a guy I like quite a bit. From Gertjan, I found Andy Hitchcock, and I bought his book, Synagogue of Satan, and I loved it. And I remember one time I was listening to Gertjan on Andy's show, and he mentioned you. And Gertjan actually mentioned you. He said something about Pastor Dan. That's all I remember him saying it. Saying about you, and I just Googled you, found who you were, and found your website, and I've listened to all your archives. I've listened to just about, not every show, but at least probably over the last 2 or 3 years, every show you've got archived, I've listened to. And that's where I am now, and between you and Pastor Eli, I have to say that you two guys really hit home with me. Quite a bit. I just recently purchased Pastor Eli's book, and I've decided to read it, and it's fantastic. So that's pretty much how I got to where I am.
Okay. Yeah, you're talking about the book, The Great Impersonation?
The Great Impersonation, exactly, yep.
How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. I would say that's a done deal, isn't it?
Oh, I'll tell you, it's just, you know, when I first got found out about identity, I'm sure most people, when they first start into it, you probably don't remember this because you've been, you know, involved with it for so long. But, you know, at first it's like it's so contrary to everything you think you know about the Bible and about the Jews and about Israel. I'm not talking about modern day Israel, of course. I'm talking about Israel of the Old Testament. You read everything and you have to read it twice and three times, and it's like, man, it's a little bit of a shock. What I did is I disciplined myself, and I would just, you know, not force myself. I prefer to use the word discipline. I would just continue. I'm just so fascinated with the Old Testament now, I can't even tell you. It's just Genesis. I can't even get out of Genesis. And it's just such an amazing book when you have the right perspective. It changes everything. And it becomes exciting. It becomes, it's the most interesting read you could possibly have. And it's these idiotic Judeo-Christian preachers today who are sitting there and just leading people to hell, as far as I'm concerned, with their stupid teaching. And I, you know, the thing is, way before I'm new to identity, but even in the last 10 years, I knew, at least I knew, had the common sense to know that these preachers, these evangelicals preachers, and I mean all of them, 99.8% of them probably, were nothing but idiots. And I just stopped going to any church, and I said, I will never go again. I won't ever listen to any of them again because they're all frauds. I knew that 10 years ago without knowing the true story of the Bible as identity presents it, which is the truth. But at least I had the common sense to know what they were teaching was nonsense. So that's why now that I'm a couple of months into identity, I have to tell you now, it's just, I used to read the Bible and I'd put it down and go, what did I just learn? What am I getting? What did I get out of what I just read? And I have to be honest with you, I always would say nothing. And now I put it down and it's just like, it makes so damn much sense. It's unbelievable. And when I think of all these preachers in their stupid churches preaching this Jewish nonsense to all these hypocrite Christians with quotes around it, it just makes me sick. And so I'm just like, I'm so thrilled that I found this. I have to believe that, I don't know if it was ordained, because I know that we're coming upon the last times. And I'm so glad that I was able to find this message before the shit hits the fan, so to speak. Because it you know what it does? It strengthens me, because, you know, it's very easy to get very depressed about what's going on in the world today. But now that I can make sense out of the Bible, it just, I don't have any fear anymore. None whatsoever. None of this shit scares me now. In fact, I think it emboldens me. I don't want to go too far. I've been talking too much, I think. But I'm just so thrilled with this message and the people like you and Pastor Eli and several others that have been dedicated to this for such a long period of time, obviously. And tremendous, tremendous dedication. I give you guys so much credit for being willing to be, obviously it's not a popular message, but I think the Bible says that's the way it's not supposed to be, but that's the way it will be. And so I give you guys credit for being truthful with yourself, and not like the typical preachers who are only interested in growth and growing their church and all that bullshit like that. So I commend you for that.
Well, thank you, sir. And
you're
not talking too much, because one of the fun things we get to do on the radio is have people come up and share their testimony, as you just did.
Yep.
And hear what we sounded like when Eli first came to know the message. I'm sure it was very similar with him, and I can tell you for a fact it was with me. I was astounded. I was just like you, only praise Yahweh, I was right around 30 years old when the truth hit me.
I wish I would have found out about this a long time, but you can only do what you can do. You know, it's never too late, obviously, and So, but obviously, the number of years you put into it, it shows. When I listen to you on the radio, and you can just roll for 120 minutes straight, and it's just, it's commendable for sure. I love listening to you. I really do.
Well, thank you.
You have some really good guests, too. The particular guest you have, I think I mentioned to you in an email, the guy, I think his name is Phil.
Oh, yes, Phil from Tampa. Yes.
If Phil calls in tonight, I'd like to say hello to him.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah,
if you're out there, Phil, if you're out there, Phil, you know, call in, because we have a lot in common.
Yeah, and I'm doubly blessed because he doesn't live too awful far from me, so we're actually able to visit visit one another, and some of the fun times we have is sitting down with other believers and family, and we call it the back patio solve the world's problem sessions, where we'll just have some cold drinks and smoke a good cigar and just talk about what we're saying right here. We'll talk about the Bible, we'll talk about our walk, but we'll also talk about some fun stuff that's like boating or something. Yeah, you got to have a mix. You got to mix it up, or yeah.
I think that's the way it's supposed to be. So you guys are all from Florida, I assume, right?
Yes, yeah, we're all South Florida, and there's a lot more. We just had a meeting of men down here. I talked about it in the last show, and then one of the men that couldn't make it on time showed up a day later, and we've all been fellowshipping, and it's kind of interesting that the number of men that showed up was 8, which is a significant number in the Bible. And the men were of one accord. I could just picture the disciples sitting around a table having a discussion as these men sat for 6.5 hours straight without a break and discussed everything imaginable that faces the house of Jacob in these latter days and what we should be doing about it. And one of the pieces that came out is reaching out to our brothers and sisters in South Africa. So we are going to send emissaries to South Africa on a mission to find out exactly what's going on over there and how we can actually do something to help those poor people.
That is such a horrific situation over there. I just can't get over the way the mainstream media doesn't even mention it. It's just sickening.
Well, you know, I can remember when they went after the white South Africans when I was a boy. I didn't think about it a whole lot then, but once I started coming awake after the Vietnam War, that was a wake up. And then obviously when I learned identity, that was a gigantic wake up. But I still could remember as a boy, because color photos were just starting to show up in newspapers. Obviously most of our news came through the newspapers back in the 50s and 60s. So I remember reading the stories with fascination, because also I had a cousin in the Air Force at that time. So I would read about that. And then I also would read about the apartheid thing in the papers later on. And what struck me as weird is the fact that for a whole year, there was not one single day that there wasn't a negative article about the whites ruling South Africa, even though South Africa was built by the whites. It's not like the whites showed up there and took it from somebody. They built South Africa, but the newspaper had nothing good to say about the whites in South Africa for over a year straight. So then we succumbed. The white people in the white nations put their brains over on the lampstand and pushed their emotion button and allowed the Jews in the media to convince us that the whites didn't have a right to rule the land that they built. And we gave it to Nelson, the butcher, hypocrite, communist Mandela, who was guilty of murder. Admittedly, him and his wife both admitted to committing murder.
I know that about his wife. Go ahead.
Yeah, both of them. Both of them have committed murder. And, they took over, and no sooner did they take over, and because I had friends who lived over there, I know about this, no sooner did they take over than crime went through the roof. That's when rape gates became common on the doors and windows of all the homes, including black homes, not just the white homes, but black homes. Crime in the streets, rape. Electrical system couldn't keep up with demand. All kinds of horrific things were happening. But do you think there was one article after Mandela, the communist dog that he is or was, after he and his little band of black communists took over, was there anything in the paper about the horrendous conditions of South Africa? No, not one article. Not one article. No. So I was learning about the hypocrisy of the Jewish-controlled media at an early age, even without knowing identity.
Are you talking now, is that the 90s you're talking about?
Yeah, with apartheid, it was, I think that was the 90s, yeah.
Yep. That's so, amazing.
But yeah, Vietnam was back in the 50s and 60s, and watching what they did with that total debacle, and then later on in the 80s and 90s was what they did with apartheid. So, and then being in the Air Force from 1972 to 1976, I obviously knew about the lies of Vietnam and Thailand and Cambodia and all that.
My brother, who just passed about 12, 14 days ago, was a Vietnam vet. So he used to talk to me a lot, quite a bit about Vietnam. I just missed out on the draft. I've known. You know, it's funny about Vietnam. Vietnam seems to be the only war that the media seemed to be able to criticize in this country. I'm not quite sure. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, they used Vietnam as a dividing point, and at that point they didn't need to support it because
ulterior motive always. Go ahead.
Exactly, they had an ulterior motive. They didn't need to support it because it was an all-out war like World War One, World War Two, and Korea. So they didn't need to get the sheep all on board because it was a limited war. Yeah. It was a limited war. They could go around and use the media for both. So they're telling us that we got to stop communism.
Do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they wanted chaos and they wanted to promote race mixing and bring the black man up and bring chaos and dissension in the country. And so they did it through Vietnam. You know, it's kind of funny. Now, as a Vietnam vet, I have all kinds of people when they see me wear a hat or a shirt that's got the symbols of the Air Force on it, they'll come up and thank me for my service. But when I came home in 1976, not a single soul ever said anything about thank you for your service. So that shows you how media-driven our people are, whatever the media tells them. So now they want us to congratulate the guys in the military because the guys in the military are basically hired thugs to do whatever the Jews and government want them to do. So now we're supposed to say thank you for your service. Well, it's not service to the country. It's service to the criminals in Washington, D.C. That's who you're serving.
That makes me think of something. When you say people go up to military veterans all the time, thank you for your service. As you may remember, I told you in an email, my brother passed away, but for the last 2-3 years, him and I, we talked about everything like this. I mean, we opened up and we were exploring all this stuff together every day. We would exchange, we'd have email threads. We'd go back and forth, sometimes 3 to 4 times each, every day in an existing thread, and we'd be just constantly talking about the current events, and we'd go back to World War II, Vietnam, and everything. When you said about people, thank you for your service when they know that you're a veteran. Now, he was a Vietnam veteran. I remember one thing he said to me not too long ago before he died. He was at the point, I can't remember the exact circumstance, but somebody said it to him, and he told me, he said, he actually got to the point where he couldn't stand people even saying it to him because he realized what he was doing there. He didn't realize it, of course, when he was there, like hardly any of the 18 and 19-year-old kids do, fighting a war for Israel, aren't they all? And so he got to the point where whenever people would even say thank you for your service, he wouldn't be disrespectful. He would just kind of murmur to himself. He would just say, whatever. You don't get it,
Right.
So when you said that, it made me think of him because I remember him saying that recently.
Did you or your brother ever read the little booklet by United States Marine Corps General Smedley Butler, War is a Racket?
I've heard of it. I don't know that he may have read it, but he never mentioned it to me.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best books I've ever read as far as waking up a military guy. Pastor Eli's book obviously is good for waking anybody up. A phenomenal book, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. However, in the sense of how our military is abused, I think General Smedley Butler, United States Marine, obviously, the go hats off and shout out to all those Marines out there. I've got a lot of good friends that are Marines. But, you know, Smedley Butler had enough courage that after he retired, he wrote this little booklet. It's not very big, doesn't take very long to read. But he basically, in a nutshell, what he said was, after a 30-some year career, reaching the level of, I think he was a brigadier general. He might have been higher than that, but I think brigadier general in the United States Marine Corps, he realized that he, as well as all of his men, had been used as a tool for corporate America, which you can put echo bars around that because we're talking Jews, had been used by the Jewish corporate America to basically go out and bring about regime change, murder, assassination, or like in Afghanistan, we're over there protecting the poppy fields because the U.S. government is the greatest drug pushers on the planet or on the earth.
I know, CIA. Yep.
Yeah, clowns in America. Yep, clowns.
And, you know, it's just, you try to talk to people. I don't have a very big platform because of my back. I don't even drive anymore. Matter of fact, I hate where I gotta go, whether it's to a doctor visit or when I go swimming, whatever. My wife has to take me. I actually travel in the back of the van because the sitting actually hurts my back. And so I have a van and I've got a mattress in the back. My wife takes me everywhere I go. So I don't get a chance to talk too many people. I spend a lot of time at home. I spend so much time at home. But I do, like I said, the one social activity I've got is I go swimming two or three times every week. It's just a little town here in Connecticut, eastern Connecticut, a small town. And they've got a small pool. It's not a YMCA. It's just a little public swimming place, indoor. I've been going there for about 4 years. And the one thing I do is And this is even before I found identity, as I just felt like I've always felt, and I've always been the kind of person that has never been afraid to speak my mind to anybody, perfect strangers, whatever. And since the truth has become so apparent to me of what's going on in this country, especially in the last several years. And when all of this is coming to light in my own mind now, I take as many opportunities as I can. I'll go into the locker room before I go swimming to get ready to go swimming. If there's a couple guys in there and they look like they're not, you know, like effeminate faggots, I'll try to talk to them. I would say probably 4 out of 5 are just totally stupefied morons. Maybe it's a higher percentage than that. Most likely it is. But what I do is just the other night, I remember I was in there. I saw this one guy for the very first time. I'd never seen him before. And he looked like he was a decent guy. I said something. He was on his stupid phone. Had the stupid phone to his ear. So he put it down, and he was finished his conversation, and I said something to him about the 5G. And as soon as he spoke, he had an English accent. He was actually from London. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And the guy, and so I started talking to him about the 5G rollout, and he had no clue about it. So I just told him some of the basics about what he should be concerned with. And this is one guy who was genuinely intrigued and was listening to me and asking questions back. So the way I go about it is I'll say something kind of brief and to the point. I don't want to bend anybody's ear off. I want to say something. I don't want to say anything that's silly or anything like that. I just want to say something that's kind of important in a kind of a straightforward way just to get a reaction. And in this particular case, the guy gave me a good reaction. He gave me feedback, and he wanted to know more. So we had about a 10-15 minute conversation, and I think he learned a couple of things. He was going to check some things somewhere. He was going to check some things out when he got home.
Mm-hmm.
And so every once in a while, you know, maybe one out of 10 times, you know, that'll happen. But I feel like we have to do that, though. I mean, especially now.
Oh, absolutely.
We're so close to the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's wasted opportunity. If I go in there and I see somebody that potentially might make a difference in his life, and I don't at least make that 20-second attempt to make a connection with them, it could be a lost opportunity. So that's what I do, and the pool is the only place I can do that too. And so that's what I do.
Yeah.
And you know, make no mistake about it. Everybody that goes to that pool knows who I am, because I have never, and this is even before, you know, I've learned about you guys and identity and so forth. But I've always had my morals straight, and I've always, you know, been like that. And I can remember an instance about a year and a half ago, a couple of lesbians started going to this pool, and I was in the pool one night. You don't mind me sharing this little short story, do you?
Yeah, we got a caller first, Henry, so hang on to your, hang on to your thought there. Let me find out what this caller has. Area code 574, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, this is Magnum 44. How are you doing?
Oh, Magnum, haven't heard from you in a long time, brother. How are you doing?
Long time. Doing well. Your current caller, you know, has got a great segue, you know, kind of into, you were talking about the start of the show of weak females and weak males.
Amen.
And I thought maybe, yeah, just kind of, you know, maybe kind of transitioning, you know, there's a lot of this, and I'm hoping that there's a lot of females and a lot of males listening to the show tonight. I'm sure there is across the entire world. Because if we go back maybe 4, 5, 6 months, we did a show on MGTOW and so forth. You know, but in that period of time, that span of time, you know, I was sitting there looking at and reading a lot of information. And one of the guys I came across, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, is Rollo Tomasi. He wrote The Irrational Male and kind of gave a blueprint of what's kind of going on in this world that's kind of turning Yahweh's law inside out, upside down, and backwards. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
I haven't heard of him.
And Rollo Tomasi is just a phenomenal individual. He was just at the 21 convention down in Orlando, Florida, this past year. You know, I was just wondering if maybe we could kind of see what your thoughts were on where you want to take this with the weak females and weak males with this program, and that could kind of feed in on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, it's a great segue back into 2 Timothy 3 because I didn't get to finish it. So let me read this little section here which deals with what you're talking about, and then we'll get into a discussion. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let me pick up here. Again, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm using the World English Bible here, and we've talked about, but know this, in the last days, grievous times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, which is also violent, not lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh God, holding a form of godliness but having denied its power, turn away from these also. For some of these, now the guys we just mentioned, some of these are people who creep into houses and take captive gullible, this version uses gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Others have weak-willed. It depends on your translation. But let me tell you what it means in the Greek, because I had a Greek fellow enlighten me to this. You can go to Strong's Concordance, but you really should go to Thayer's, because Thayer's goes into a lot more depth of meanings and various meanings as well. What this word is talking about is not just gullible or weak-willed women. It's also referring to weak-willed gullible, effeminate men. And that's what's left out in the English translation. Nowhere in there do you get any idea that it's also referring to our men who have basically become cucks. And I'm going to tell you, it's disgusting to me, having been raised by real men, having been in the military, played sports all through school from seventh grade through college, everything else, been around guys that know how to be men, to see what the hell passes for men out there today. So it's not just the weak-willed, gullible women that we're being warned about, but today it's especially these weak-willed men out here that somehow think putting their hair up in a bun, wearing makeup, wearing females' clothes. I'm going to tell you something. If it were up to me, I'd push the button that would reject you into the pit tonight. It's disgusting. So I'll let Henry have a say first, then we'll get you, Magnum.
All right. That, you know, that is so repulsive. I feel completely the same way. I one question I would have about that would be, you know, obviously it's completely unnatural, artificial, unbalanced. No doubt about that. My question would be, do you think that the estrogen levels in food could be a partial explanation for why men are becoming like that? I don't know.
It's a multifaceted problem, and let me just tell you from both the biblical side, and I'm also a naturopath, so I've been to school for learning natural healing and the natural processes of the body. The instructors in the school were some of the most phenomenal people, typically doctors and nurses who left modern medicine and went to what works, which is natural. And they're the ones that filled me in on the estrogen problem. Up until then, I did not know. Estrogen cannot be filtered out of the water, is what they told me. It cannot be filtered out of the water. Now, I believe making distilled water can get rid of it, but anything short of distilled water is going to carry the estrogen. Now, here's what's critical. Here's what's critical. What's in birth control pills? Estrogen.
What did you say that again?
What is the major component in birth control pills? Estrogen. Okay. Now, so that means every time one of these feminazis out here takes birth control and she goes to the bathroom, she is injecting estrogen into the water table that is going to stay in the water tables. So now we have a tremendous amount of estrogen in our water systems that wasn't there before. We also have estrogen coming to us through the xenoestrogens in the plastics. Now, Henry Ford had a way to make plastic out of hemp oil, completely natural, even biodegradable, but the Jews didn't want that because they need us to get the xenoestrogens into our food, leaching into it through the liquids in the food of the plastics.
Yeah, part of their plan to soften us up for the kill.
Exactly, exactly. And I had a friend of mine who had a doctor from South Africa visit him probably about 20 years ago out in California. And he told me when the doctor got off the plane, one of the first comments he made was, "What the hell happened to the men?" He said, "I've been looking at news reports from America. I've been reading articles. I've been looking at statistics. I look at the pictures that come in the news." He goes, "What happened in North America to your men?" But it isn't just North America. My brother traveled over to Austria as part of his job, and he told me that the same thing is happening to the men in Austria. He said most of them acted like little faggots. So
I think Sweden would probably be the worst of all. I mean, the men in Sweden are just completely gone.
Well, it's happening everywhere. But go ahead, Magnum. Go ahead.
It is. I was going to say, if you heard the latest quip, they're called Soy Boys. A lot of the soy that's in these energy bars and what we're feeding the boys and this and that, it's all soy, which has got estrogen in that. The soy boys now have become very effeminate. They're getting bigger breasts. If you go in, and not that I look, but I mean, if you look around, these kids today look like they have mini breasts on them. And they're called soy boys. I mean, the boys are being fed the estrogen, and it's just everything from the cradle to grave. They are wanting to make men into women, which are very docile and are very easily led by the tongue. If you go back to, let's go back to Genesis. Who was led easily by the tongue, by the serpent? The
Eve.
Female.
Yeah.
And so it's very easily done if you can take the testosterone out of the male. make them into a female, they can be easily led right to slaughter, just like your guest is talking about.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Did you have something you wanted to say, Henry?
No, he nailed that one. When he said that, I just remember last week, again, I was at the pool. I won't stray too far from the subject, and we'll get right back to this, but there was sometimes at the pool, they have these mentally challenged people come, and they have supervisors. And there was this black guy in the pool. I thought he was a supervisor. I don't even know now. Anyway, we were talking about the big breasts from the soy or whatever. You should have seen this black guy in the pool. It's like he had woman's breasts. And he was like in his late 20s. It was just sickening. And to top it off, he was in the pool, and he was being supervised by some lesbian dyke on a bench at poolside. And there was three girls that were probably mentally challenged in the pool, and this black guy, and he was a worker. He was like a supervisor in the water with them. And I am not exaggerating when I say this. And then this straying a little bit from what we're talking about, but we'll get right back. I just had to mention it. He was literally, he had one of these white girls, and he had his arms around her, and she's retarded here, okay? And he basically had her boobs in his face, and he was moving around the pool like that. I confronted him, and I told him what I thought about it. I told him I was going to report, and I called the authorities, and I said, I don't know what happened to him. I just wanted to throw that out there. I was so repulsed on so many levels. The boob part of it, from what your other guest just mentioned, but this other aspect where these people, they're not even super... Anything goes with them. It's just ridiculous. But
I don't
want to stray from the subject matter here.
Well, no, it segues in here because we've talked about it on the program many times. We're in an all-out war, okay? Whether anybody wants to admit it or not, we don't even care anymore. This is an all-out war for the survival of the white race. And if you're too stupid to know that, then it's your problem, not mine. Now, here's something I've noted here lately that fits in perfectly with what you're talking about. Just the other day, I was at a store, and it was a fast food chain. I wasn't there to get anything, but I was in there waiting for somebody else to get something. And what did I notice? Every worker, male worker, was black. Every female worker was a young, rather attractive white or Hispanic girl.
Oh yeah.
But all the males black. Then you go to another restaurant. What is it? All the guys in the kitchen and all the guys out front are black. All the waitresses are not black. They're either Hispanic or white. And you go into the next store. You go to Walmart now. Walmart is almost 100% black run down here. Walmart, Publix, you name any of the big chains, like Wendy's or any of these grocery stores. And it was, when I first got here, because there's so many Hispanics, they were pretty much all Hispanic run with some black and at least a smattering of white people. And now you got to really look hard to find even a Hispanic, let alone a white, but even a Hispanic, because it's like the blacks have been given complete control ever since the orangutan sat in the White House. All right.
Orangutan is an appropriate word too, because I wouldn't doubt if they have that in their genes. Their gene code. I don't know, but it's ridiculous proportions now. It's just
what's in your face. That's what we're talking about. We've reached the pace where the Antichrist is so bold, and they know their time is short, that they're not even trying to hide this stuff anymore. They are trying to cram feminism, transgenderism, pedophilia, cannibalism, bestiality, you name any perversion on earth, and they're pushing it to trying to normalize it.
At a rapid pace. The transgenderism, you just think back like 3-4 years ago, it was no one even spoke of it. And now it's everywhere.
They control the media. If you control the banks, you control the media, then you can control the government and everything else. And once you got control of that, everybody else is sheep. And now the guys that should be warning us about all this is our shepherds. Our shepherds are deaf and dumb dogs. That's what Scripture calls them, deaf and dumb dogs.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. They're like the old hunting dog sitting up on the porch. He's too damn old to bark anymore. He's deaf and dumb. You know, there's predators coming on the property, or there's a bear in the backwoods. He just lays up there, deaf and dumb. Doesn't do a damn thing.
If your other guest wants to say something, he's more than welcome to. I have something to say to that, though.
Go ahead, Magnum.
What I wanted to say was, when we're looking at men today, and I hope this reaches the four corners of our earth, literally and figuratively, we as men have better find our balls and become men because of the hypergamous nature of women. If you haven't understood or haven't figured out yet the female nature, it is inbred in them genetically to be hypergamous. So that means to always trade up to find the best provider and protector for them.
You know,
And this is something that I really want to put forth, that, you know, when we sit there and I think when we look at all the great works in this world, it's men making these great works for women, the David, the Mona Lisa, whatever it is, the paintings, the buildings, the Taj Mahals, everything's been done for a female. Men love women, and I'm gonna kind of jump here, like women love their children. There's not the reciprocation of women loving men the way men love women. Here's my message. Right. Here's my message is that because they have a hypergamous nature, men today had better become men, because what they're going to do is they're going to go through, and any man that's ever dated a woman has probably gone through this process here. You go through and you give your heart, your time, your money, your bank accounts, your retirement, whatever it is, just to be told after they got the kid and everything else, and, you know, a couple of kids along the way, they trade you up for somebody else, but they take everything from you. Now, the way they're not going to trade you up is if you're an alpha male and a man. Okay, I sit there, and I've got a very close family member. I won't say how close, but he's a captain in the United States Navy. And he's one of the biggest damn cucks that I'm embarrassed to admit that he is. Mm-hmm. Okay? He doesn't believe in guns, and he doesn't want to say the word God. He wants to say gosh and this and that. And I sit there and I look at him and I'm like, it's just a matter of time before his wife looks at him and says, you're a cuck. You're a female. Get the hell out of here. I want a man. So I'm trying to help people and help our fellow brethren here to say, find your gonads and become a man and understand female nature. That's where Rollo Tomasi, the rational male, you want to do yourself a favor, you want to save yourself $150,000 in attorney's fees, read that book or listen to that book over and over and over again until you understand it.
Yeah.
Because we do have a war in our hands. We've given women birth control and control in the courts over our children, our lives, and everything else. They will get our bank accounts, they'll get our retirement accounts and everything else, and then go off and they have all the sex they want, and come away with it with a free conscience. We've created a monster. And the only way we can combat that is they want a damn man, an alpha male, that's going to keep them in their place. And I'm not saying in the kitchen. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm not saying it. They want a man to be a man. Okay? If you want to be what do they call them? A beta male or a blue pill guy that wants to be the nice guy, you're going to be steamrolled in this lifetime. And Dan, I'll turn it back over to you if you want to disagree or agree.
No. I was
going to disagree with that. That was well said.
Yeah, that was well put. And here again, we're not talking about every single female on earth, okay? I hope we're talking about in general. So these are general statements about problems. We're not being specific because obviously I know personally women out there that are not that way. So please, ladies, understand. We know there's exceptions to this.
And so do I, Dan.
Yeah. I know Yeah, I know you guys know that because we talk off air. So, right. And I know other people listening too, the other men and women, their feelings on it. But so we're actually talking more to folks that are going to hear this message possibly as somebody gives it to somebody or refers them to it. Not so much for the EFR folks and whatnot. But here's the issue. All right. Cause I try to take everything back to scripture. That's our foundation. Father gave us a formula because he made us. So the Bible and the scriptures are our owner's manual, just like the owner's manual to your car. It is telling you how things work. And here's the problem with that. You go back to the Genesis account, and as you very well put there, Magnum, Eve fell because of two things. Now, we talk about her being tempted or beguiled by the Nakash, which was a man. Okay. He did that with sweet sounding words. Okay. Our ladies today are bowled over with sweet sounding words. The ones especially who are weak willed. Okay. Now the punishment for that, if we read the account, is pain in childbirth. That's one. But the other one was that your desire would be for your husband. Now you go back to the original Aramaic and Hebrew on that. It is why women are having so many mental issues today, because here's the problem. Yahweh made us and he told us how it works. The fact that we disobey him, regardless, we're creating these problems. Here's what happens. When the man and the woman come together, what is the marriage act? A piece of paper being signed or a ceremony? No. The marriage act is when you become one, which is a biblical way of saying having sex. Okay, now what happens to the female when that happens, when that act is performed? Her desire is for her husband. Now, the problem is today, psychologically, they have now committed that themselves to that male through the marriage act of sex, but we have frivolized it today thanks to Jewish influence, but you cannot take away the psychological effect. Because that's at the DNA level. So here we got ladies that are becoming attached to men, but society's telling them they don't need to do that. So they're going out there and getting in bed with other men. But psychologically, now they're trying to reset this trigger that started in the Garden of Eden, and it's creating tremendous tension and nervous issues, and that's why so many women are on Prozac and going to psychiatrists and all this other stuff, because he did not do that to the men. There's a reason for that, and a lot of people don't like hearing it, but he didn't do it to the men because the men were going to have more than one wife. Not every one of them, but many of them did. All you gotta do is read history. If you don't like it, it's too bad. I really don't care. Okay, so he did not tell Adam your desire would be for your wife for a very good reason, because he was going to have to be the comfort, the mentor, the supporter, the provider, and the protector for more than one. That's why he didn't do that. That's why men do not have that DNA structure. And women trying to behave like men is destroying them mentally and subconsciously. I'm sorry, but it is. And that's why.
Vice versa. Men trying to be like women
is destructive.
Is destroying them.
Is exactly. And you're right. Kent, you nailed it when you said, and as James Lancey has said, it's time for us to be lions again. It's time for the men. And this ministry 18 years ago was dedicated to the men, first of all. I hope people will remember that. So ladies, there's a lot of truth that we talk about, but this program 18 years ago, because we saw what was happening, was dedicating to get the men to learn how to be men again.
You guys are ahead of the curve, let me say, because this is relatively new stuff to most of us as far as what's been going on with men. 18 years ago, you guys were upfront about this and ahead of the curve. I commend you for that, because...
Yahweh leads us, because back in 2010 on this radio program, and I believe Magnum can attest to this, we started talking about the necessity of a military tribunals and a military coup as the only solution to bring back America. And now we're almost 10 years later, and now it's in alt media every day. Every day, the alt media is talking about the fact that the provost marshals and the military units need to step up and arrest these bastards.
Yeah, which I don't think is going to happen, but
Well, then we're done. If it doesn't happen, we're done.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I don't have any trust with Trump. I just, I don't know.
Go ahead, Magnum.
Real quick, is that Henry? Is it Henry?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I want to point out real quick here, you know, we talk about some pretty serious topics here, all of us here. But you know something? We understand that the female is an emotional being, okay? We want those tight unions between man and woman exactly the way Yahweh has described, the way he put in his word, in his Bible, and is written in, you know, is written, you know, the biblical sense. We want that. But we're also trying to shed light that we have an enemy out there that is destroying our women, whether they know it or not, and they're trying to destroy the men, whether we know it or not. And that's why we got the watchmen on the wall like Dan and Eli James and so forth. They're saying, we're not just trying to point the finger and say, you guys are bad, women are bad. No, we're trying to bring what women want most in this world is a union and a connection and so forth, and say, hey, going out and sleeping with 10, 20 guys is not good for you. Okay, it wasn't meant to be that way. Okay, so we're trying to bring it all together because we want the same thing as men. I mean, we want a tight connection with a female. We really do. But we're out here fighting a battle, you know, because women have it so easy with birth control and this and that and what they're being told on TV, that men are idiots, that men are stupid, fathers don't know what to do. They can't cook, they can't do that. I'm a single dad. I'm raising three kids by myself because mommy wasn't good enough, okay? Bad choice on my end, but I love being a single dad. I love being a dad. I stepped up to the plate, okay? And that's atypical. But that's why I want to say Dan's program here is so important because he's shedding light on the important issues. We're not going to sway and deter and hide behind because we're going to step on some toes. We need to step on toes and say, hey, people, wake up and look at the George Soros's, look at It's a Lie, and look at all these people that are destroying our lives before it's too late.
Yeah, let me bring up a case in point here because you're a military man, Magnum. I'm a military man. Did you know that the Army just took away the requirement for new recruits to be able to throw a hand grenade?
I heard about that.
Dan, I've served 27 years. I just retired from the military. I served 27 years. The first 2 years was in the Army. Okay, so I've got a love-hate relationship between the Army-Navy game every single year. However, I did not hear that, and I am appalled.
Yeah, do you know the reason?
I ran the grenade range.
The woman can't do it, right?
Missouri. No, go ahead, please.
Well, the official reason that was just put out in the article said we can't get recruits who can throw a hand grenade that far.
Yeah, what kind of recruit?
Are you kidding me?
The female.
Well, no. What it's telling you is two things. They're trying, and now the Marines just put their first female military unit together. So, hallelujah, we've effeminized the Marines now. Isn't that grand? But here's the problem. They can't throw the thing for two reasons. Because the young men have been pussified, and the women never could throw it that far. All right?
Right.
Now, I've got friends who were in desert. Wait, what? One at a time. What'd you say?
I was just going to say, so what you're saying, it's even the men. It's not just the female recruits.
It's the men, too, because what is happening is we just discussed it. Estrogen and society and all this stuff is feminizing the boys. They're showing up with makeup. They're showing up with their cute little buns. They're coming in with their frail little bodies. And exactly what 2 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about here, we're allowing the enemy to pussify our boys, and we men are standing by letting it happen. I don't blame the women. It's us men. We're the ones in charge. We're the ones who come down from the Father. You think about the Genesis story, and I'm going to say this, and again, until Father takes me home, I'm not going to stop saying this. Whether anybody likes it or not, I could care less. The hierarchy in this world is Father Yahweh to Adam. It wasn't Father Yahweh to Eve, and it sure as hell wasn't Father Yahweh to the children. It was Father Amen. Yahweh down to Adam. Adam had a job to do. Eve was an afterthought. Eve, her mission was to enable Adam to perform his job better. That's why she was called a help meet. A help meet is a helper, not in charge, and sure as hell not in my military. And I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. Women in the military is the biggest mistake you could ever frickin' make. And I'm sick to death that we don't have anybody in the military with enough stones in their sack to stand up and say enough of this BS. Women don't belong in the military. I don't care what anybody says. It's a fact. They don't belong there.
Yeah, no argument there. I never even thought they belonged as police officers, to be honest with you.
They don't.
I never accepted that. And when I started to see that they were going into the military, I just...
Well, here again, it's a physical thing. Anybody that says women are physically the same as men is a retard. All right. Simple as that. Oh, yeah. You're dumber than a box of rocks. Anybody that tries to push that particular ideology on you, you're looking at a complete idiot or you're looking at a communist. One or the other. He's either an idiot or he's part of the problem. He's part of the cabal trying to destroy a white civilization. Either one. Okay. But they're an enemy. Because it's a fact. There are, all the facts support the fact that women do not make good soldiers, good police officers. They don't belong there. In fact, back in the military in my grandfather's day, the nurses, the field nurses were men. The women didn't go to the battlefield to be nurses. You might find a few of them back at the hospital in a safe zone, but you never found them out there where the bullets are flying. And let me throw you another little curveball here. All the listeners, you're going to hear the mainstream media, the mockingbird media, tell you the Jewish lie because they're trying to destroy us. But here's the facts. Talk to any of the military guys that were over in Desert Storm, any of the Middle East conflicts when women started showing up where the bullets are flying. And here's the irony of that. The guys that came back from there told me in personal chats, they said it was amazing. When the firefights started and the bullets were whizzing, the females were jumping into the sack with anything that would impregnate them as fast as they could to get the hell off the battlefield. Because once you were pregnant, you had to be taken out of the battle, away from the battlefield. And he said all the women, virtually all, not everyone, obviously, but a very large number were immediately looking for a male that would get them pregnant so they could go in and say, I'm pregnant, as fast as they could to get the hell out of the war zone. Okay, why do you think the ancient ancestors, the Spartans, all the best warriors, the Romans, the Celts, the Medo-Persian armies, the Egyptian armies, how many of them ever had women in the army?
I don't think the National Socialists had them in the army either.
No, you don't put the women up there. Here's two reasons why. When my Uncle Brownie was in World War I, he came home from that war, and it was a devastating war, and it psychologically scarred him his whole life. And he was an old man when I knew him, but he was a young field-grade lieutenant in the trenches of France during World War I. The only story he told my father, who then told me, about that time in those trenches was the day as a lieutenant he came across two homosexual men. And you know what he did to those guys? He took all their equipment, all of their field packs, their rifles, everything was taken from them. They were handed, each of them, a revolver with 6 rounds in it, and he blew the whistle, and they went over the top towards the German lines so that they were killed in action instead of going home, because the stigma to the family was that strong back then. But here's the other reason. You know, you got all the cucks and the females out here going, oh, Dad, you sound so harsh. You don't have a heart. You just don't have a heart. Well, let me tell you something. Uncle Brownie did have a heart. You know who he had a heart for? All the other men in those trenches. Because the homosexual love affair was going to get somebody killed. And it's exactly why you don't put women in combat, for the exact same reason, because affairs and Men will go and do stupid things to protect a woman. That's just a fact of life. Absolutely. So they might even disobey orders if they think it's going to put the woman in jeopardy. That's the way we're built. That's the way Yahweh wired us. That's why we're in that battlefield to begin with. It's not that we hate the enemy in front of us. It's because we love who's behind us. And the reason you could not tolerate that stuff in the trenches is because the homosexual love triangle or the two of them would get the rest of the unit in trouble, the potential for getting the rest of the unit killed. So anybody out there that says, well, that was a heartless act, no, it wasn't, because every now and then there'd be two Germans attack the Allies, and they would get gunned down the same way. So it was a standard practice. So it did two things. It ended the conflict in the trenches. It put everything, it put order back in the trenches, and the family did not have to suffer any shame back home because they came back as a KIA, killed in action, and so they got their medals, they got whatever, and nobody had to know the wiser. So do you see how far we've come? Do you see how far we've come? Now we got men showing up for duty. Kent, my buddy out here at the Air Force base just told me last year he saw the memo come across his desk where men have to be allowed to show up in a female's uniform. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
That's a fact. Men can come to work at the base in a female uniform if they feel their feminine side has come out. Oh, I feel like a woman today, so I'll put the woman's uniform on. Just because I have a 5 o'clock shadow and a beard and wear a mustache, it'll be okay. I mean, is this complete insanity or what?
It's insanity, and I'm going to take it one step further. Dan, you know, I served my military time in the Navy on submarines. Okay, I was on a fast attack submarine out of Point Loma, California, right there in San Diego. We now have women on fast attack submarines and Trident submarines. I sat there. I have a wife that up and down just blatantly said, women need to be on submarines. They need to be here. They need to be able to do everything a man can. I took her out to a submarine. I took her out to a fast attack submarine, the same flight as mine. That I served on in San Diego. She went on board and she saw how close and how tight and how everything that was. Every time a guy went past her, he went and his body touched her body every time he went past her. She came off that submarine and she said, absolutely not. This is absolutely absurd. And what we see right now in the submarine fleet is more men's careers are ended because of an accusation whether true or false, okay, of an accusation when you had, and let me state this.
Oh, me too in the military.
Or the rest
too,
of the thing. If you want a female submarine manned by all female submariners, I'm all for it. Go get it. But you want to put a man, married, single, whatever, with a bunch of females on board? I was out to sea 6 to 9 months a year on board my submarine, year after year after 6 to 9 months, and you want to put a couple of females on there. It's like you might as well shake up a bunch of, you know, very volatile chemicals.
Yeah, it's a formula for disaster.
It's a formula for disaster.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, yeah, please. Go ahead, Henry.
How much of this that we're talking about now, specifically about females in the military, homosexuals, transgenders in the military, how much of this, and I have to think most of it, I want to get your take, how much of this would you attribute to Obama's firings and hirings of the generals?
Let me tell you, I'll tell you right when it started, 1975, when I was in the Air Force.
Before then, okay.
Yep. 1975 was when the women started showing up in the maintenance squadrons of the United States Air Force and the Navy, the Army, etc. Up until then, it was 100% male.
Well, I think perhaps maybe it's mostly the transgender being, you know, since Obama's was in office, when Obama was in office, I think, because I don't think we had transgenders in the military until what, a few years ago?
Right. Well, he pushed that because of his own personal situation.
Of course. Oh, yeah. I mean, his husband, Mike, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're all perverts. Let's face it, the White House has had a pervert sitting in it as almost long as I've been able to vote.
Yeah, but I think the 8 years prior to Trump probably was the most repulsive situation ever in that White House. I can't even imagine what went on there.
That's why I was told that the United States Marine, not one single Marine, would volunteer for White House duty during the 8 years of the orangutan.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you something. And people think, well, you're being cruel. No, I'm not, because I'm being honest.
No.
All right? An orangutan could do a better job in front of a teleprompter than this guy could. I watched at least four or five videos of him giving a speech when he was running for president, and no sooner did the teleprompter quit working, he could not even finish the sentence he was in the middle of. That's how stupid he is, all right? Anybody else, a teleprompter, you would be at least able to finish a cogent thought that you were in the middle of. You shouldn't have to have a teleprompter give you every single word to say. It actually should be just talking points or notes. But this guy actually had to have literally every word that came out of his sick, demented, communist mouth. Now, there's a guy with a YouTube channel that thinks that Obama is the Antichrist. Well, he certainly fits the bill. I don't know if he could pull that one off or not. But then again, he's a sock puppet anyway. He only does what his handlers tell him to do. So could he pull it off? Maybe he could. But he'd have to be led, just like when Rahm Emanuel, the little homosexual Jew from Chicago, the very first guy that was brought into Washington when the orangutan went in there, that was his job for the next year, was to keep a leash on Obama and make sure he followed orders. All right? So, you know, I'm speaking the truth, okay? And if some of these alphabet soup guys want to come down and have a chat with me, please do. I've got plenty I would like to tell you, because I've got words of prophecy for you guys. I really do. I've got some prophetic words that you guys need to hear, because shit is getting ready to hit the fan. Excuse my French, but that we're at serious times. That's why it went from being Pastor Dan to Commander Dan, because we're in warfare now. The time for learning all this stuff you should have been doing for the past 18 years and beyond, with guys like Eli and Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé, because now we're reaching the military phase. So we're almost out of time. Go ahead, Kent. You had
real quick, Commander Dan, for a dad that's raising a newly minted 10-year-old here, I got to get him off to bed here. But I just want to thank Henry and all the guests in this, and hopefully we made an impact trying to get this word across, because you're speaking gospel. So I'm going to be signing off, but I want to say Yahweh blessed, to everyone out there, and we'll keep pushing the word.
All right, Magnum.
Talking to you, Mac.
Yeah, Yahweh bless your heart, buddy. You're a good guy.
All right, have a great night.
Yeah, take care. Magnum's been very busy with different things going on in his life and all, but I've known him for almost the same amount of time I've been on the radio. I think I first met him about the same time I started the radio show. So that's been 18 years. But he is a true friend, and he is definitely an Israelite who cares about the truth. You know, Bill Holter, the economist, said that 2018 would be the year that truth matters. And I believe he's been given a word of prophecy with that, because this year, let me put it this way, either 2018 is the year that truth matters, or go out and pick your burial spot, folks. You might as well go out and find out what little patch of dirt you'd like to have your remains buried in, because it's over. I mean, if we allow these sick, perverted degenerates to run the show, what do you think's going to be here for us, our children, our grandchildren, anybody with a brain that even begins to function, any male that actually has a reproductive system that is intact and works, that actually has any kind of testosterone level in his body? We're going to be made extinct if we allow these people to get away with what they want to do. And I would rather go down fighting, Henry. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go down fighting.
I think it would give me a sense of pride. I remember saying to my brother one time, I would prefer to have been, I think of the end of World War II, okay? From what I know about it, every last German, whether they were 14 years old or 75 years old, fought to the last man, because there was pride involved there, and it was like, have a sense of dignity. Don't succumb. Fight with everything you've got, and just let the chips fall where they may. And I just think of society today, and it's just, we've been talking about them all night, all these apathetic faggots, these degenerates. I don't know if there's enough of them to wake up. I don't know. There's so much damage done to our society today. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know I'm not going to be one to take it. I'm going to be, I'll be there with you. I'm not gonna bow down to these mother. You know what? Almost
you came almost. Close.
I warned you about that.
You came close.
Stay real close.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Well, here we go, Henry. The scriptures tell us that, you know, he said that it would be as it was in the days of Noah, and also prior to his coming, that if he did not come when he does, there would be no flesh saved. And if these bastards get their way, let's face it, we'll have no real food. We'll have no heirloom seeds left, because they want to hybridize everything. They want to GMO everything. You know, I don't want to live in that world, Dan.
About you. I don't want to live in that world.
No, you're not going to be able to. See, that's what the morons don't seem to understand. And as Kent says, he's ashamed of the fact he's got a relative in the Navy that's a cuck. I've got cucks in my family too. I went to my nephew's funeral, and there were members of my own family. I couldn't believe it. We got on the subject of natural health and GMOs, and I actually had like four or five of what I thought were intelligent members of my family look at me and say, what's wrong with GMO food? Looked at them and I said, are you guys pulling my leg, or you're actually looking at me with all your college education, with all your years of experience? One of them is even a chemical engineer. With all your training, and you don't know what's wrong with a genetically modified organism food. You don't understand that. I said, you're idiots. And obviously they didn't like what I had to say, but I just looked at them and I shook my head. I said, this is why we're in the position we're in. I said, I can't believe you guys are that ill-informed that you don't know why that's bad. How in the hell did you get to the level of this society and in the positions in manufacturing and industry where you're at, making the kind of money you are, and be that stupid? How in the hell did that happen?
Well, I think the key word in that sentence was money.
Yeah, it is. It's money. Well, again, why did the Jews, when they came to North America, they took over two things immediately, media and money. They always take over the two sources of the most power, control what people are given as far as the news through the media, and control people through money, because between the two of them, you have almost nobody left out. Most people you can buy off with money, and the ones you can't buy off with money, you use emotionalism, sensationalism, yellow journalism, you name it, they've got it. Just like all this retarded BS that's coming across, pushing the transgender thing and the pedophilia thing and the bestiality thing. I mean, it's sickening.
All coming from the same source. And
Satan's kids. Satan's kids. Yep. Yep. And here again, scripture proven true. When you properly interpret it, and that was what I was going to say earlier when you were talking about how beautiful it is when you come to know identity. And I don't call it Christian identity anymore. I don't even want to be associated with that word, because those people are complete morons. So it's just plain identity is what I tell people. And why is that? Because what we teach correctly identifies who's who in the zoo. All right. If you don't know who the Bible's referring to in the various passages, then how the hell do you get any kind of actual knowledge that's going to do you any good if you don't know who it's talking about?
If you've gone beyond the first two chapters of the Bible with the wrong idea, everything else is going to be nonsensical to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, my dad had a favorite saying when I was a boy growing up, and he was the proverbial father, where he taught me in the way, as scripture says, in the way with little one-liners. You don't have to sit in a classroom with a bell going off every 55 minutes and some boring teacher sitting up there and rapping you with a ruler when you don't pay attention and think that that's how you educate. You educate like my father did me. We were out in the fields baling hay, putting up fences, whatever, and he'd give me little one-liners. And one of his favorite one-liners was, "You can't argue with success." Wow. Is there wisdom in that or what? Just look at everything we're talking about. If it works, why would we be on this radio show? Why would I be doing this for 18 years? I'm not going to argue with success. I'm on here because it ain't working, people. Marriage isn't working. Child rearing isn't working. Medical isn't working. Pharmaceutical isn't working. The military's not working. Government's not working. And America's about ready to get flushed down the toilet of history because the white man has traded his gonads in for a bun.
Yep. You know, I think of the situation, World War II. I wish, too bad Phil didn't join tonight, but, I wanted to ask you this question, maybe in an email, but I never got around to it. I don't know, but I don't know the answer to this, but I'd be interested to see what your take on this is. First, let me quote from Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf, and this is in reference to, you know, what they were facing there. And I'll just read it here. "We don't ask the Almighty Lord make us free. We want to be active, to work together, so that when the hour comes that we appear before the Lord, we can say to him, 'Lord, you see that we have changed. The German people is no longer a people of dishonor and shame, of self-destructiveness and cowardice. No, Lord, the German people is once more strong in spirit, strong in determination, strong in the willingness to bear every sacrifice. Lord, now bless our battle in our freedom, and therefore our German people and fatherland."
Amen.
With that kind of spirit, and my question after that would be, they lost, okay? You think of our situation where we've been talking about it all night with all these freaks running around. And here we had a nation pretty much completely unified with the right cause, the right leadership, the right mindset, and for all the right reasons, standing up against the mighty Jew. They lost. And we couldn't possibly even come close to what Germany tried to accomplish in the late 30s and into the 40s. And I don't question why it turned out like it did. I know Yahweh has a purpose for everything that happens.
Do you know why?
When you look at that, go ahead, man, take it.
Well, I've thought the same thing for many years. It's like, wait a minute, they were the greatest soldiers on the field. Their technology was extremely good. Why did they not succeed? Well, there's a couple reasons. If you look in the Bible, Israelites have fought each other through the centuries off and on the time.
You know what? That's what I thought of. I was going to say that. Because we're fighting against each other.
Yeah, and that's to our shame. We do that because we're misled, because we're given bad information, or we allow the Jews and other outsiders to have influence. But here's the other part of the problem, as I have studied it, all right? The problem with Germany and Italy is that they did not do what the Jews accused them of. Had they done what the Jews accused them of, they would not have lost. They had too much mercy, all right? They had too much mercy.
Dunkirk, right?
Well, like at Dunkirk. They could have wiped out the British army on Dunkirk, and they showed mercy. Adolf Hitler's orders to the high command was, you will not murder our brethren. They knew that we're related. They did not destroy the British army on Dunkirk. They could have gone right across the channel and probably conquered England if they had wanted to at that time. They still thought they were dealing with honorable people like Churchill. He was a complete scumbag. Exactly. Okay. And Montgomery, another scumbag. All right. So their fault was the same thing that the Branch Davidians at Waco, Texas. They could have walked out and shot every one of those FBI agent and ATF agents because they ran out of ammo. They had filled that building with so much ammo, they ran out. The Branch Davidians could have walked out and shot them. Instead, they showed mercy. There's our problem.
There you go.
There's our problem. Wow. You don't show mercy to an enemy. You don't show, they have forsaken the right of quarter or mercy. And what does scripture say on this last battle? You will show no mercy. That's right in the Bible. You will not show them mercy.
We have to learn from history.
Learn from history. That's exactly right. And that's why I say everybody who does not worship the Christ, everybody who is not with the sheep is an enemy. And the enemies all go. That's what the scripture says. All enemies go. Period. Done.
Yep.
The whole earth, Yahweh says, nothing that offend me will come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. When Christ said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? What do you think he was talking about? Will I find men willing to follow my orders? Will I find men willing to take on an enemy and destroy them, utterly destroy them? We're not going to sit and try to rehabilitate them. We're not going to sit there and compromise with them. No, we're here to destroy you. Understand that, enemies of Christ and enemies of the white man. Now, I want you to hear this very plain. We are going to annihilate you. We have no desire to compromise with you. We have no desire to form treaties with you. We are here to annihilate you. You better understand that.
Obliterate you and put you in the ground.
Exactly. No compromise. No compromise. No. None.
There cannot be any.
Our ancestors made that mistake all the way up to the Germans and the Italians and to some degree even the Japanese.
It goes right back to the Old Testament, too. The Israelites in the Old Testament, their mercy was always their downfall. That's
exactly.
Why they're always chastised and punished.
Exactly.
So even,
he said,
so
if
even
you...
the great one.
If you don't destroy them, they will become thorns and pricks in your side. Well, what do you call all these Arabs and non-whites in our society today? They're thorns and pricks in our side. And if you don't know
it's
that...
It's in our nature. Yeah. So I guess it's in the white man's nature to have that empathy and that kind of compassion. But I guess what it says is when we're in a military fight for our life, we have to have leaders who...
No person that's going to show them mercy is worthy of being a leader.
Right.
Not at this time.
I'm not going to criticize. I mean, it's hard for me to sit back here and criticize him for what he did. And we're talking about the great one. But obviously it was the reason why they lost. I kind of knew that.
He had Jews in his army. He had Jewish bankers in his country. He didn't do what the Jews accuse him of. If he had, they wouldn't be a problem today. Right. So, you know, again, the Jew always lies. He lies about everything.
Oh, of course.
Okay, there's an old saying that the Jew will scream bloody terror as he's cutting your throat.
The Jew will accuse you of what he does too,
and he always does. He always does.
Always does that.
And we've got some leaders in identity who are Jewish, by the way, who are putting themselves out there as national leaders in identity, and they act the exact same way.
They infiltrate everything.
Yeah, exactly. But here's how you know them. It's a judge them by their fruits, right? Well, what do? They accuse other ministries of doing things that they themselves are doing.
What I just said, exactly.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Just sickening, though. Just sick. I don't even, honestly, Dan, I think of them, and it's hard for me to think of them as being human.
Well, you know,
in
Thayer's lexicon, when you look up the Greek word judaios, which is where the word Judean and Judahite come from, your Bible has Jew in there, but that's a made-up word. It has no meaning whatsoever. But if you look up that Greek word, in Thayer's Greek lexicon, it says that the Apostle John considered the Jews of his day and the apostles in Christ to be completely without anything in common in respects to culture and religion. In fact, the Thayer's book that I have printed in the 1980s says that the words in the Greek language of John speak of the Jews as though they came from an alien race. And that's straight out of Thayer's lexicon, and you can read it online. If you go to the Blue Letter Bible and you look up the Greek word eudaios, you can find it right there on the Blue Letter Bible. So they got the exact page out of Thayer's that I have on my bookshelf. I can recognize it. Wow. It's the exact copy from the exact year that my Thayer's comes from. The wording is identical. So right there is a double witness. I'm telling you because I read it in my book, but you can go to Blue Letter Bible, look up that word in the Greek. It's on page like 356 of Thayer's lexicon. And right there it says by the people that produced that lexicon that John's writings spoke of the Jews as though they came from an alien race. Which, by the way, we have another double witness in the fact that Pontius Pilate, writing to Augustus Caesar, spoke of them in exactly the same terms, as if they are aliens to decent human beings, decent people, complete aliens. And we're less than a minute, Henry, if you have any last comments.
I'll just say I'm glad I called in tonight. I plan on doing it in the future again. I want to just encourage you to keep being strong and being a person that we can look up to in these tumultuous times.
Thank you, Henry, and Yahweh bless your heart. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, by Yahweh's design here at EuroFolkRadio.com, keep us in your prayers. These are serious times, folks. Get prayed up. Or as Colonel Potter says, prepare, pray, and stay out of the way. And hallelujah.